And God gives him that privilege, but in God's way. And so we read in verse 5. And the Lord descended in, this is Exodus 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Another thought that was brought out this morning in prayer was that we might be more perfect worshipers. That our estimation of our Lord might procure more and better worship. This is God's desire as well. Not to use it as an excuse, but this world does rub off on us. We know we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But nonetheless, it has an effect on us. And so how good to come apart from the world to, by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, to have the person of the Lord Jesus brought out, that we might in a greater and more perfect way appreciate Him, that our worship might be more perfect. So with these thoughts, maybe we can consider the Lord in this morning session as the Lord from eternity past, relating to man and perhaps condescending in the person of the Son, that He might bring many sons to glory.
Just a thought in connection with the first verse that we read in Psalm 93, verse 1. Jehovah, the Lord, reigns. And this is the only time that this word is used in the Psalms as king. He reigns as king. It is, the thought is really conveyed there, He is king. So He is reigning as king. It's the only reference to that in the book of Psalms. And so it's good for us to see that from the beginning, that He is king. And Deuteronomy, there's a verse that He is king from eternity, or in Jeremiah, I can't recall the verse now, but He is king. And so it's good to start, as our brother Mike has explained, from that perspective, the Lord reigns. Even when everything is in turmoil around us, you mentioned the book of Judges, where we see the decay and the declension among the people of God is not much different today. Everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. That is more or less the tendency that we see today. And to realize then that the Lord reigns as king, it's not that things are falling out of His hands. He is king. He is in control. And so when things happen that we cannot understand, we have to keep in mind He is king, He is Lord, He is in charge. And so that is where we start today. He is the one who is in charge. And not only that, He's close to His majesty. So it shows the greatness of His person, and when He displays Himself, it is with this majesty and also with strength. He is really in control. We easily say that, but it is true. And the way he is in control, the way he shows that, shows his greatness also, that he can sometimes, from our perspective, through a detour, he can achieve his goal. So the Lord is King, he's close to his majesty, and that really demands our obedience, it demands our worship, it demands that we would really convey ourselves completely to his leadership. And when you see the end of this verse, thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting, is another verse in scripture, from everlasting to everlasting. If we see that he is in control from before the foundation of the world till eternity to come, if we may use that expression, that helps us to understand everything is in his hands. And the most beautiful way we see that, if we can conclude with that, is in connection with the cross. On the cross, from a human perspective, we would say everything failed. The Lord was there suffering, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet, even there, God had complete control, and it led to complete victory. And so that is really good for us to see that God's in control. But that does not set aside our responsibility. We are responsible to acknowledge his authority, to acknowledge his greatness, and to submit to his greatness. And that is where the exercise comes in, I guess.
I wonder if we see that the verses that we've read, it gives me the thought that not so much that he's controlling everything, although that is so, but first and foremost, to get the benefit of his lordship, is the fact that by rights he has that authority. He is the one on the throne, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the king of the universe. He is the creator. And just that knowledge is needed to say he is Lord. And this is the problem with all of creation, as everyone does that's right in their own eyes, is that there's a lack of acknowledging. They may not acknowledge, oh, I believe in God, but they don't acknowledge his rights as over this whole creation and everything and everyone in it. And so they don't respect him in that position and that authority that is ever his and ever will be his. A simple picture is how often here, in, especially in the States, when a new president is elected, he is seen as chief, and you know, he is seen as the one who has full authority, and he's given that respect of full authority. But it comes with that title. But that presidency gets changed from hand to hand. But this throne has never changed from hand to hand, because there is no other throne but this throne. That's the authority, I think, that the knowledge we have to come to, first of all, to recognize, regardless of my situation, whatever, I respect him. He is king. He is Lord. He is the one that is fully the one I should surrender and submit to. Now, I just want to give another little example from scriptures. In the little book of Philemon, we have this young man, Onesimus, a slave who ran away. And I'll ask the question, why does Onesimus run away from Philemon? Philemon was a Christian, so I wouldn't doubt that he ran his house very fairly, very honorably. But what is it in the heart of Onesimus that runs from Philemon? Because he wouldn't recognize his lordship, his right and ownership to him. And this is what stirs or spurns the heart of anyone who will go off on their own because they don't want to recognize that person's authority and right and ownership to the individual. So even though the unsaved go about doing what is right in their own eyes, the same truth is said about a believer who does not want to recognize his lordship. We may recognize the doctrine of it. We may say he's Lord. But if we are not recognizing his full right and authority upon us, then we too will go about doing what is right in their own eyes. The quotation now forgave is at the end of Judges. There was no king in that day. That means there was no leadership. There was no lordship. There was no one who had authority over the people. So the same truth, if we don't recognize him in that rightful place, then every one of us will do what is right in our own eyes, and it is no wonder we're in such a state today, because the lordship of Christ that is rightfully his is not being recognized.